National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from there.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Coming straight from the south, going down. Audio Shop Talk right in your ear hole. Brought to you by yours truly, Joseph Ward, a.k.a. your mother's boyfriend, a.k.a. God damn it, I know I said. You know what I'm talking about? Right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com is the website where we get it in, keep it in, and, you know, it always, always, always go down right here on the Fix Sports Podcast. Why? Because we love you. We love you. You know what I'm talking about? That's how we get down. So, as you know, the Fix is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants is a platform that's created to tell the stories of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. And they achieved that goal through the African History Book Series, the African History Blog Series, the African History Curriculum App, the YouTube channel, the nonprofit organization, as well as lectures, classes, speaking engagements, all those things brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. You can get your copy of the On the Shoulders of Giants books, which is On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 1, North America, and On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 2, Central America, at www.ontheshoulders1.com, as well as www.ontheshoulders.org. You can also get the app from the Google Play Store. So you go to the Google Play Store, type in On the Shoulders of Giants, and you can get the app. But it's a free app, a free African history curriculum app with over 160 profiles of people. I think like over, if not over, or close to 1,000 questions. Just a lot of information that you can use. So go to it, check it out, www.ontheshoulders1.com or www.ontheshoulders.org. All right. What we getting into today, Joseph? Let me tell you. So our HBCU spotlight is going to be historical, and we're shining on Miss Yolanda Laney, who is one of the top 25 greatest HBCU athletes of all time. All time. We'll talk about the Kawhi Leonard trade for DeMar DeRozan. So Kawhi is going from San Antonio to Toronto, and DeMar DeRozan is going from Toronto to San Antonio. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the All-Star Weekend, the Home Run Derby controversy with Bryce Harper and his daddy, as well as give you a recap of the MLB All-Star Game. Former UCLA star Billy Knight is dead. We'll talk about that. Former NHL player Ray Emery has died, a black goalie. I had no idea who Ray Emery was, but Ray Emery was a black goalie, and he died, so I'll tell you about that. Give you a recap of the 2018 ESPY Awards. Darrell Revis has retired, so we'll talk about that. Le'Veon Bell, we'll talk about his contract updates. The Pussy Riders, I'll tell you who they are and what they did. And I like their name, Pussy Riders. And France is mad at Trevor Noah and everybody who's calling France a black soccer team, or African soccer team. And so I'll talk about that. Give you some of my thoughts on that as well. My weekly rant is aimed at one of the selfish motherfuckers around. Quadruple F. Fuck boy, flagrant foul Frank. I'll tell you about who Fuckboy Flagrant Foul Frank is. So, of course, you know, we start off with our HBCU spotlight. And as I told you, we are shining it on Yolanda Laney. Now, this list that I'm looking at is the female HBCU grads who left outsized athletic legacies. And this is a, you know, the list. And Yolanda Laney is 20th on the list. So Laney helped lead Cheney University of Pennsylvania to its first NCAA Women's Championship game in 1982, where the team lost 76-62 to Louisiana Tech University. Laney also earned an academic all-star honor for athletic and academic achievement that year. Per Cheney University, Laney briefly played professional basketball in Europe after graduating. She eventually became a lawyer and currently works as an assistant city solicitor for the government of Atlantic City. And like I say, she was a trailblazer. She broke a lot of ground in HBCU basketball. She was real good, leading her team, Cheney, to championship games. She, I'm looking for more of her stats. It was kind of, in the time I had, I didn't really have a lot of time, but I was looking for her stats, and I couldn't really find the stats on her. But Yolanda Laney, nevertheless, this other list that I'm looking at is, I think this is the top 25. No, this is the same one I was looking at, but Yolanda Laney. So make sure you go look her up. Make sure you go check her out, Yolanda Laney. Like I said, she played at Cheney University of Pennsylvania, took her team to the championship game in 1982. That's 2 years before I was born. So make sure you go check her out. But I did want to show some love to Miss Yolanda Laney. Give you a little historical perspective on the HBCU spotlight. It ain't all about stuff that's going on now. And the whole reason of the HBCU spotlight is to show love to my HBCU athletes, whether they're past, present, or even future. So the HBCU athletes, man, we love y'all. Yolanda Laney is trailblazers. So all you ladies out there who play HBCU basketball, we have a chance to shine and just do your thing on the court. Yolanda Laney definitely is a trailblazer. She broke ground, and we want to make sure we show her some love. So y'all go ahead and join me and my audience and put your hands together. Yolanda Laney. Yo. When I say yo, y'all say Londa. Yo, Londa, yo, Londa. When I say yo, y'all say Londa. Yo, Londa, yo, Londa, yo, Londa, yo, Londa. Go, Yolanda. It's your birthday. Go, Yolanda. It's your birthday. Go, Yolanda. Go, Yolanda. Miss Yolanda Laney. One time for Miss Yolanda Laney. One time. All right, so go ahead. Let's get into it. So after Kawhi Leonard only played 9 games for the San Antonio Spurs last year, set out most of the season, set out the playoffs, said he would not play for San Antonio again, he was traded to the Toronto Raptors for DeMar DeRozan, and it was like 2 people traded. So it was Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green went to Toronto for DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl. So, yeah. So the question was, so what's up with Kawhi in L.A.? Because the Spurs was asking for a lot. You know, Ingram, Kuzma, Hart, 4 picks. Like, I think 2 picks in, like, the near future and 2 more picks in the distant future, something like that. So they was asking a lot from the Lakers. So that didn't happen. So he ended up going to Toronto. If the Spurs were going to trade Kawhi to a Western Conference team, they was going to ask for the house, right, and as we see they did with the Lakers. So they didn't get the house back, or even probably didn't even ask for the house from Toronto, since they sent him to an Eastern Conference team. So now the question is, what happens from there? Does Kawhi play? If he does play, where does that lead Toronto? Because remember, Toronto was the number 1 seed in the East last year. They got put out by LeBron once again. But LeBron is now in the West, and Kawhi Leonard is replacing DeMar DeRozan. Of course, that's an upgrade because Kawhi Leonard is a better player than DeMar DeRozan. And, you know, they also get Danny Green. They also get Danny Green, so that's pretty cool, too, because Danny Green can shoot the lights out the 3. So we give up DeRozan and Jacob Poletti, well, Poletti, whatever, and you get Kawhi and Danny Green. So maybe the Raptors have won, so as of right now, but the question is, will Kawhi stay in Toronto long term? Because we all know that Kawhi wants to play in L.A. So will the Lakers try to make a move for Kawhi once again in this same offseason? So could Kawhi be traded twice, traded once from San Antonio to Toronto, and then again from Toronto to L.A.? So if Kawhi goes from Toronto to L.A., what are the Lakers willing to give Toronto for Kawhi? Because, of course, we know probably Ingram, probably Hart, and, you know, they keep Danny Green and probably some draft picks or something like that. But, you know, so let's read this article by SB Nation, right? Everyone writing obituaries for the death of San Antonio Spurs, as we know them, would be wise to double-check their timeline. Spurs did not die on July 18th when they traded Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green to Toronto for DeMar DeRozan and Jacob Pope and the first-round pick. Spurs, as we know, them met their demise in the summer of 2016 when Tim Duncan retired from his 67-win team after 19 brilliant seasons. There's a reason why players like Duncan are considered once-in-a-lifetime cornerstones. The Spurs just happened to have a couple of them over the years. Even without Duncan's steely low-key demeanor to steady the ship, it was still tempting to chart a direct course from one era to another without pausing to consider that things had irrevocably changed. Thanks to the presence of Leonard's steely low demeanor, it was assumed that the Spurs would continue on an infinium, whatever that says. So we know now that this assumption was incorrect. For reasons that have never really been made clear, Leonard wanted out of San Antonio and now finds himself about as far as from his preferred destination of Los Angeles as one can get in this league. It's a shocking conclusion if you only pretend the last few years never happened, right? With Timmy around on the patrol in the paint and the locker room, the famed Spurs culture was allowed to take root. Over the years, San Antonio coach Greg Popovich spoke reverently about what Duncan allowed him to install. Without Duncan, the Spurs have gradually become just another well-run basketball team. So that ain't really talking about nothing with Kawhi then, but fuck this article. But basically, Kawhi going to Toronto, how long will he stay in Toronto? So also on the other end, we got to look at what's up with DeRozan, because people are still looking at DeRozan sideways because he didn't show up in this series against LeBron, against the Cavs, and they got their ass whooped, right? And coach got fired. So, because DeRozan is a baller, let's not get it twisted now. DeMar DeRozan is a straight baller. And I do think that DeMar DeRozan going to San Antonio could help him. DeRozan have been in the league for a little minute, but playing with somebody like Pop, you can learn a couple new things, you know. The old dogs who can learn new things tend to stay around. You dig? So, will the Spurs be good? We know the Raptors just got better. Some people still looking at Toronto like, you know, y'all still baby dinosaurs until proven otherwise. But you have to be honest with yourself and admit that with Kawhi, a healthy Kawhi, that Toronto is still a good team, still a better team. Now, we know Boston going to be better. We know Philly going to be better. We know Indiana going to be probably a little better. We know about Toronto. So, I mean, you know, those teams, Washington, maybe. But I still think Toronto will be formidable with Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry and the other pieces that they have. Will they repeat as the number one seed? Don't know. Really don't care, but don't know. So that's interesting for the East, because the East is wide, post-LeBron East is wide open, meaning any team, well, Toronto, Boston, Philly, those three have the best chances of winning the East. If LeBron's there, then it's LeBron, right? Even though LeBron may not be favored to win it, let's just be real. So will Kawhi eventually get to L.A. this year, or will Kawhi get to L.A. next year? Now, me, I'm be real. If I'm L.A. and Kawhi is in Toronto now, I'm going to take a shot at it. I'm going to see what's up. I'm going to throw something out there at Toronto, see what's up, see if I can get Kawhi to play. Now, some people are speculating that Kawhi could possibly sit out. I haven't had any confirmation that Kawhi could basically sit out the season. Reports say he's slated to make $20 million this year. That's a good reason not to sit out for $20 million, but it's also, you know, out there that Kawhi does not care about money the same way other people do. Now, Greg Popovich is also on record for saying that he doesn't think that Kawhi quit on the team. He likes Kawhi. Kawhi is a good basketball player. Kawhi is a great asset. Greg Popovich don't go out. Greg Popovich don't be acting like no host, so that's cool. So even though Kawhi, the relationship between Kawhi and the Spurs, it ended bad. But Spurs got Kyle Lowry and other dude, and Toronto gets Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. So what type of team would these two teams be? I don't know. I don't know if San Antonio will make the playoffs. I don't know. I'm not going to count a pop team out. I don't know. Will Kawhi get to L.A. once again? What will happen? What moves will be made before free agency is out, before the season starts, all those things? Will Kawhi end up over there? Because, like I said, Kawhi is a long, long ways from L.A. Right? And if he goes to L.A. next year, what will be the state of the team? I'm not mad at L.A. for not giving up the house, though. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I like Ingram. I like Kuzma. I like Ball. I like the little nucleus that they have working together, playing together, as long as they're not beefing. Then throw LeBron in that mix with Rondo, Lance Stevens. You know, the Lakers have a nice nucleus. Is it a championship nucleus? I don't know what the Lakers' big man situation is, but I don't think the Lakers have a good big man situation. But, hey, who knows? So, will Kawhi get there? We will see. We shall see. But right now, we know Kawhi is a Toronto Raptor. People are starting to say he's warming up to the idea of being a Raptor. And see, that's the thing about being traded. You're not going to go to where you want to go. And so that's why I say have that idea of being a mercenary. You can have your favorite team. Like if I had the chance to get to the NFL, let's say that happened for me, I got to the NFL, of course I would want to be a Dallas Cowboy. But I got to understand that I'm a mercenary. And being that I'm a mercenary, I want to get to the best team in the best situation to put me to win. Yes, I can have my favorite team, and I may want to play for my favorite team. I might even get the chance to, but I'm still a mercenary because, hell, take your ass to that team and don't perform and see if they don't cut your ass. So I ain't mad at Kawhi for having a favorite team. I ain't even mad at Kawhi for forcing the trade. I kind of like when players are in charge. I am kind of side-eyeing him sitting out a little bit. The football player in me is, but the businessman in me isn't, but this is the latest, so we'll definitely keep you what's up, because this is, other than LeBron, this is the other thing that we're looking forward to happen in the NBA offseason and the free agency period and all these things here. So now I'm going to definitely keep an eye on that, keep you updated, and let you know what's going on with Kawhi and the Toronto Raptors. Who saw that coming? I know they started talking about it. Like last week, they start talking about the more possibility of him going to Toronto, Toronto being a destination spot for Kawhi. But I was like, I really didn't see that coming, to be honest. I'm gonna be straight up with you. I didn't see Kawhi going to Toronto coming. But it happened. So let's see how the hell it worked out. All right. So let's move on to the next topic. Move on to the next topic. All right. MLB All-Star Weekend happened, or the All-Star Game happened. The Home Run Derby has passed. So we'll talk about the All-Star game first before I get into the home run derby. So this is a recap of the All-Star game. All right, so in this article on USA Today, Sports, Tuesday's evening All-Star game was fairly uneventful until its later innings. The American League triumphed over the National League 8-6 for their sixth straight All-Star game victory. Despite fears of potential rain and inclement weather delaying the game, there were no unexpected stops in play. The AL started very strong offensively with runs from Aaron Judge and Mike Trout, the top of the second and third innings respectively. Sean Segura's three-run homer in the top of the eighth made victory look inevitable for the AL by the fifth. Max Scherzer, unsurprisingly, was well-received among fans at Nationals Park. The Nats star pitcher pitched the first two innings, giving up four hits. One was Judge's second-inning home run, but Scherzer remained unfazed and lighthearted. Four strikeouts made his performance commendable. Bryce Harper did not get on as well, striking out in both of his at-bats. After Harper's home run derby win last night, there was chatter of him going for the MVP title as well. Yeah, I did hear that. A lot of people did expect Bryce Harper to probably come out with the MVP because of what he did in the All-Star game, and it was a home game, you know, home All-Star game. So elsewhere in the dugout for the NL, who rallied back from the three-run deficit, the kids were all right. Wilson Contreras of the Cubs had a solo homer at the bottom of the third. The Rockies' Trevor Story had one in the seventh, and Christian Yelich added another in the eighth. A two-run homer by Scooter Gennett in the bottom of the ninth brought the game back to a 5-5 tie. Jesus Aguilar struck out for the NL, and extra innings began. In the top of the 10th, Alex Bregman and George Springer, both of the Astros, hit home runs almost immediately off of Dodgers pitcher Ross Stripling. Stop us if you've heard that one before. Hell nah, that's funny. With no outs, Michael Brantley took a sacrifice fly to the right field, and Jean Segura got in one more run to put the score at 8-5. Though Joey Votto of the Reds hit one last home run in the bottom of the 10th, the NL couldn't quite make up the deficit. After the late night, the American League would be going home happy. So American League beat the National League as one more game for 2018 All-Star game. But the highlight and the controversy was the home run derby and Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper won the home run derby, but folk talking about Bryce the cheater. So I'm going to read this article and then give you my opinion. National superstar Bryce Harper on Monday night won the 2018 home run derby in his home ballpark in front of thousands of adoring Nats fans, making it all the more dramatic is that Harper prevailed over Cubs slugger Kyle Schwarber in the hotly contested final round, and that's where the plot thickens. Dun, dun, dun! What the hell happened, Willie? Shit, let's find out. Per derby rules, the pitcher is supposed to wait until each batted ball lands before delivering the next pitch. I'm going to read that again. Per derby rules, the pitcher is supposed to wait until each batted ball lands before delivering the next pitch. In Harper's case, he was off Schwarber's final round pace of 18 home runs by five with less than 1 minute on the clock. Harper began closing the gap, and as the clock wound down, Harper's pitcher, his daddy, Ron, it should be noted, appeared to break that wait until the ball lands rule on multiple occasions, right? And so there, it's a video right here that they're showing that I'm playing the video, and it's a minute long video, and bam, Harper hitting. They're showing the ball. They're showing the ball land. Okay, that ball landed. He threw the ball. That's like pitch number three. That ball land. Okay, so he wasn't. Okay, that's four. So he wasn't. It ain't that serious from what they're talking about from right now. Okay, that one is number six. Like number five, number six. Yeah, they. So he's not waiting totally until the ball lands, right? So his daddy wasn't waiting totally until the ball landed. It wasn't that egregious, though. It's really not that egregious when you go back and look at the video. And I'm looking at the video right now. And I'm going to just run it back for myself so I can see a little more. So it's not that egregious. So let me see. one. That's one. That's two. That's two pitches that he pitched. That one landed. It's three. It's third pitch. He hit it. It is almost, it's bam. That's about the same time. That's fourth pitch. It's a third pitch. So about the same time. Fifth pitch. A little ahead. Sixth pitch. It's a little ahead. Seventh pitch. It's a little, oh yeah. So I mean, like the last ones were a little more egregious than the others, but it wasn't that damn serious. It really wasn't that serious, right? So I think he hit like 9 home runs in like 50 something seconds or something like that, less than a minute. Okay, so this is Franchise Kicks. This is at Franchise Kicks tweet. They're saying, so are we just ignoring the fact that Bryce Harper and his dad cheated and did not follow the rules of the hashtag home run derby? The previous hit ball must hit the ground before the next ball can be thrown to the batter. Harper needs 4 home runs taken away. Video evidence. If we go by the video, I wouldn't say 4. I say 3. I say 3. So you got a lot of people up in arms about this stuff, right? So it says, what's interesting is that there's an ump position far behind home plate who signals to the pitcher when it's okay to throw again. By way of example, here's that ump letting the pitcher know that he's free to serve up another one. So, I mean, so yeah, so this is not a video, but this is a picture of the umpire with his hand letting the pitcher know that he can throw the ball, right? So, so was Harper's dad ignoring the whole sign from the ump, or was the ump going rogue and giving him the green light before those baseballs had landed? That, people, is ultimately the unimportant question. Also, let it be known that other 2018 Derby participants were not spared from such accusations. Yada, 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 yada. So everybody up in arms and saying Bryce Harper shouldn't be the home run derby champion because his dad didn't wait till the ball hit the ground and he hit 9 home runs, something like that, in less than a minute. Looking at the video from what I saw, it wasn't that egregious. The last three, yeah, I mean, you know, I can see the last three. I can see what they're talking about, the last three, but it wasn't that egregious. It really wasn't that egregious. Now, you can see his dad rushing to get the pitches off and all those things there, but it wasn't that goddamn serious, right? It wasn't that serious to be like, oh, man, Bryce Harper shouldn't be the home run derby champion, man. You know. Whatever, man. But that's what it is. That's what happened. That's MLB All-Star. So I guess that means since the All-Star break, that's halfway through the season, so we probably going to get close to starting to talk about baseball. So, you know, we'll talk a little more about baseball moving forward. But, you know, That is what it is. So Bryce Harper, he 2018 home run derby champion, the AL won the All-Star game. People don't like that Bryce Harper won because they say him and his daddy cheated. So maybe they probably changed the home run rules. Another thing I saw that's in the home run derby that was interesting, they had a clock to – you can take a timeout in your bats. When I was growing up, you had to stand your ass up in that hole and hit. It wasn't no timeouts. You couldn't take no time. I gave them like a minute or 30 seconds to catch their breath and go back to hitting again. I was like, what the fuck? When they start doing that? So, yeah, that's what they got going on in baseball, man. That's what's going on in baseball. Woo-hoo! Baseball is halfway done. All right, so let's get on more serious and somber notes real quick. Former UCLA basketball player Billy Knight was found dead after posting a YouTube video. Authorities say former UCLA basketball player Billy Knight has died in Phoenix. One of Knight's last acts appears to be posting a message to YouTube in which he said that he lived a life of sin, was hearing voices, and that his time was up. The Maricopa County Medical Examiner's Office hasn't released a cause of death. Phoenix police say Knight's body was found on a roadway early Sunday near downtown, and there was no evidence of foul play. This is probably my last message on earth, Knight said in the video posted to YouTube on Sunday. I just want to say that I lived a life of sin. I lied, I cheated, and I stole from many people. I was a taker. That's why my life ended up where it is now. That's sad. He may have had mental health issues. He may have felt like he was being followed, stalked, some of those things, not sure. The 39-year-old Billy Knight was a guard slash forward at UCLA from 98 to 2002, averaging 14 points and 3 rebounds a game as a senior. He wasn't picked in the 2002 NBA draft and played professionally in France and Japan. Knight was a basketball operations assistant for Northern Arizona Suns of the Developmental G League in 2016-2017. The team is affiliated with the NBA Phoenix Suns. In the video, Knight said he was hearing voices in his head constantly and that he isolated himself from people who were close to him, right? So he probably didn't tell anybody. And that's one of the reasons that just made me think. The month of August, the Freedom Train Network will be focusing on mental health awareness in the black community. So we're definitely going to be focusing on that. That just made me think about that. So, life is not a game, said Knight. You can't play around with life. It's serious, and I wasn't honest with a lot of people, even my mom, my brother, and my family members. I isolated myself from my family members. I isolated myself from my friends, and that's not something you should do. So he knew he had issues, right? Knight urged people who were experiencing what he felt to get help. I'm lost in life. I feel like there's no hope, he said. I have no friends with me here. I have no wife, girlfriend. I have nothing. I just felt like I can't continue on. Northern Arizona Suns official issued a statement Tuesday evening saying they were deeply saddened by the pact. So it sounds like he was suffering from some type of mental illness, maybe schizophrenia. I don't know. I don't want to diagnose him, but he had a mental illness. He recognized his mental illness. I wondered what was his methods of seeking help or the process, or, you know, did he seek help if he sought help? And if he didn't seek help, he knew he should have sought help because he stated that others should seek help if they were experiencing what he was experiencing. So this is a sad day in the world of sports that Billy Knight has died and seems to be all the reports are pointing that could be self-inflicted wound, suicide or something like that. We don't know. But definitely, our condolences goes out to Billy Knight, his family, his friends, and everybody who loved Billy Knight. Definitely send our condolences. But as Billy stated, and I stated before I read that part, we have to pay attention to our mental health. Have to. And if something ain't feeling right upstairs, you got to let folk know so folk can help you. If you ain't letting nobody know what's going on, hard to get help. But also, if you know it's not right up here, seek help. Do seek help. Go do what you need to do to get yourself some help. Please seek help. Condolences goes out to you, Billy Knight, my brother. Further sad news, NFL star Ray Emery died while swimming last Sunday. He was 35. He was a black goaltender for the Philadelphia Flyers. So former goaltender Ray Emery died while swimming Sunday morning. He was 35 years old. Don Brennan of the Ottawa Sun reported the news, noting Emery, who played for the Ottawa Senators. My bad. I'm talking about the, this picture. There's a picture of him. That's why I said the Philadelphia Flyers. There's a picture of him in the Philadelphia Flyers uniform. He played for the Ottawa Senators, the Chicago Blackhawks, Philadelphia Flyers, and Anaheim Ducks all in his career. Drowned Sunday morning at the Royal Hamilton Yacht Club in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Hamilton police provided an update on the situation Sunday morning. At 2:50 p.m., HPS recovered the body of former NHL player Ray Emery, who was 35. Emery was reported missing just after 6 a.m. In the Hamilton, Ontario Harbor. His body was recovered in close proximity to where he was last seen. Family has been notified cause of death to be confirmed pending the autopsy. They went out for a swim, and unfortunately, he did not emerge after diving in. Police Inspector Marty Schoenberg said, per Joanna Frickett of the Hamilton Spectator. We responded along with Hamilton Fire and EMS. Unfortunately, our efforts on the water and in the area just around the piers were met with negative results. Toronto Maple Leafs General Manager Kyle Dubas offered his condolences in a statement, which read, in part, "He was fortunate to be around Ray at every start at the very start of his promising career in Sault Ste. Marie, where he drafted him in 1999, and then again at the end of his career, where he played for us in 2016, 2017 with the Toronto Marlies." So Emery last appeared in the NHL game in 2014-2015 after entering the league as a fourth-round pick in 2001, so he had a healthy career. He led the Senators to the Stanley Cup Final in 2007, started 20 games in the playoff run with a 13-7 record and a save percentage of 90.7. He was also on the Blackhawks team that captured the Stanley Cup in 2012-2013, boasting a sparkling 17-1 record and a 1.94 goals against average during that regular season. So one time for Emery for winning the Cup. He won the William M. Jennings Trophy in 2013, which was awarded to the goaltender, which allowed the fewest goals during that season. So that's what's up, man. He was a baller, too. Ray Emery, man. Our condolences goes out to you and your family as well, Ray Emery, and prayers as well. So we got to, you know, we just got to be careful. Got to keep our head up. And just keep praying and keep chugging along, man. So Ray Emery and Billy Knight, our condolences definitely go out to you guys as well. All right. So last night, the ESPYs, not last night, my bad, night before last, the ESPYs came out. And it was interesting that I remembered to watch the ESPYs because when I flipped to the TV, I saw it, the ESPYs on. And Danica Patrick was the host. So I was like, that's interesting. I want to see how she do. The ESPYs have great writers. Now, from what I saw, I didn't watch all of the ESPYs because I fell asleep. But from what I saw with Danica, she did a great job of hosting for things that I saw. The sketches were good. Jokes were good. Shout out to Donovan Mitchell. I did see him win his award for Best Breakthrough Athlete, even though I thought Sloane Stephens should have won the Best Breakthrough Athlete. I think it was between Donovan Mitchell, Sloane Stephens, Ben Simmons, and Alvin Kamara. And I was thinking Sloane Stephens would win because she was the only person to actually win a championship. You know, The rest of the three, the men, Alvin Kamara, Ben Simmons, and Donovan Mitchell, all helped their team get to the second round. But I did like Donovan Mitchell's speech on people not giving up. Donovan Mitchell didn't always believe in himself, and other people didn't always believe in him. But Donovan Mitchell said his mother was somebody that believed in him. And through her strength and through those things, he kept going. He almost didn't enter the draft. Hey, man, and look at him now. So one time for Donovan Mitchell. So let me tell you about these. Let me give you a recap of the ESPYs. Winners of the 2018 ESPYs were announced Wednesday, June 18th, during ABC's live ceremony hosted by pro racer Danica Patrick. The ESPY Awards, which honor the best achievements in sports, have been handed out annually since 1993. This year's champions were decided by fans voting online at ESPYs.com after the 2018 nominations were determined by the ESPY Select Nominated Committee. ABC started hosting its Kudos Fest in 2015 after it was initially broadcast on Sister Network ESPN. Oh, yeah. And I remember I did see Jim Kelly's speech for winning his award for courage at the Jimmy Valvano, the Jimmy V Award. Man, my hats off to Jim Kelly, man. Before we go further, I want to give a round of applause to Jim Kelly for his bravery and his consistent fight. He keeps fighting, he keeps coming back, he fights, we rock with Jim Kelly, our heart and our prayers go with Jim Kelly, we wish him a speedy recovery, we wish Jim Kelly the best. So, athletes from the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang dominated many of the categories for this 26th ceremony. As for the top two categories, best male athlete, featured a battle between Tom Brady and Jose Altuve, and Jose Altuve plays for the Houston Astros. Also, James Harden, Alexander Ovechkin. Best female athlete, the competitors were Maria Shrivkin, Sylvia Fowles, Chloe Kim, Julie Ertz. So, and I think I forgot who won. I ain't gonna try that. So here are the winners. So the best male athlete went to Alexander Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals. He won the best male athlete. The best female athlete went to Chloe Kim, who was the snowboarder. The best Olympic moment went to Shaun White for his snowboarding moment, coming back and winning. Because, you know, Shaun White dominates snowboarding, right? So, of course. The best championship performance went to Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl, for winning the Super Bowl. Best breakthrough athlete, like I said, went to Donovan Mitchell. The best game was between the Houston Astros defeating the Los Angeles Dodgers in the Game 5 of the World Series, or the Georgia Bulldogs defeating the Oklahoma Sooners in the Rose Bowl, or the U.S. Women's Hockey defeating Canada, 2018 Olympics, and the U.S. Women's Hockey won because, you know, they beat Canada in the championship game. So, of course, the best moment went to the Minnesota Vikings defeating New Orleans Saints when quarterback threw the ball. Stephon Diggs caught the ball on the sideline, the safety missed the tackle, and he got a touchdown. So the best team went to the Houston Astros of the Major League Baseball. The best college athlete went to Baker Mayfield of Oklahoma football. The best play went to Notre Dame's Arike Ogunbowale for the second buzzer beater to win the national championship, even though she had two buzzer beaters. She had the first buzzer beater to beat UConn to get to the national championship game. Then she had a buzzer beater in the national championship game to win it. So, one time for Arike Ogunbowale. The best record-breaking performance went to Roger Federer in tennis. Best international men's soccer player went to who else? Cristiano Ronaldo. So, Mohamed Salah was also nominated, Neymar Jr. and Lionel Messi, but we all know Ronaldo was going to get that. Best international women's soccer player went to Sam Kerr of the Chicago Red Stars and the Australian national team. Best NFL player, of course, Tom Brady. Best MLB player, Mike Trout. Best NHL player, Alexander Ovechkin. Best driver, Martin Truex Jr. Best NBA player, of course, LeBron James. Best WNBA player, Maya Moore. My baby, my homegirl. Best fighter went to Terrence Crawford for boxing. Best male golfer went to Jordan Spieth because they had to give it to somebody, right? Best female golfer went to Sung-Hwin Park. Best male Olympian, Shaun White. Best female Olympian, Chloe Kim. Best male tennis player, Roger Federer. Best female tennis player, Sloane Stephens. And if y'all wonder what Serena was, remember, Serena took the year off to be a mother. Best male action sports athlete went to David Weiss with the USA Ski. Best female action sports athlete went to Chloe Kim, USA Snowboard. Best jockey went to Jose Ortiz. Best male athlete with a disability went to Mike Schutz in snowboarding. Best female athlete with a disability went to Brenna Huckabee in snowboarding. Best bowling went to Rhino Page. Best MLS player, Major League Soccer player, Nemanja Nikolic of Chicago Fire. Best Major League Women's Soccer, best national, best women's soccer professional player went to Megan Rapinoe of the Seattle Rams. So that's a little rundown of the 2018 ESPY Awards. So, yep. That's how that went, and that's how it's going to be. So, a little football news. Revis Island is no more. Darrell Revis has decided to retire after 11 seasons in the NFL. See, Darrell Revis did it right. He was a mercenary. Darrell Revis was a mercenary who knew his worth and went and got his coins and didn't let his feelings get caught up in the team, right? So Darrell Revis, for years the top cornerback in football, announced his retirement on Wednesday at the age of 33. In 11 years in the game with the Jets, in 11 years in the game with the Jets, the Buccaneers, the Patriots, and the Chiefs, He amassed 7 Pro Bowl selections and came to define the position, earning praise as the ultimate shutdown corner at a time when such a player was a top priority in the NFL. He was so good at foiling opponents' top receivers that the area on the field that he patrolled became known as Revis Island. And Darrell Revis was a baller. To me, he was the best corner in the league for a while. He was better than Champ Bailey. He was better than Champ Bailey. Best corner in the league for a while. My passion to play the game at an elite level brought fun and excitement to the term shutdown corner, which is nearly on the verge of extinction, he said in announcing his retirement. Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's true. Because he picked up the mantle from Charles Woodson, Champ Bailey, Antoine Winfield, guys like that. So this is his retirement statement that I'm about to read to you. So for the past 11 years, it has truly been an honor to showcase one of my greatest gifts to the world. Today, I am closing a chapter in my life that I once dreamed of as a kid and am officially retiring from the NFL. The game of football has opened doors for me I once never thought were nearly impossible. I once thought were nearly impossible to get through. My passion to play the game at an elite level brought fun and excitement to the term shutdown corner, which was nearly on the verge of extinction. Covering some of the toughest assignments in the league and league history was a challenge every Sunday, but also an honor within this game we all love. I would like to thank my coaches, teammates, and mentors who have made a significant impact in my life and helped to create amazing memories that my family and I will cherish for a lifetime. I'm excited as what lies ahead as I pursue new adventures in different industries. Long live Revis Island. Yeah, so, let's give a round of applause and shout out to Darrell Revis, man. One of the really cornerbacks, the greatest cornerbacks in the game. Revis. He's one of the cornerback gods. One of the cornerback gods, like a rap god, cornerback gods, right? Revis was the man. Shutdown, hey, Revis was one of the last real shutdown corners. He was better than Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman wasn't no shutdown corner like Revis was. Drafted by the Jets in the 14th overall pick out of Pittsburgh in the 2007 draft, Revis earned 4 consecutive Pro Bowl spots and acclaimed as one of the sport's top defenders. Before he tore his ACL in his final year with the Jets and became embroiled in contract disputes and was traded to the Bucks, he made the Pro Bowl again. But after a year there, he was released, picked up by the Patriots. He won the Super Bowl after the 2014 season, mercenary style. Woody Johnson, as owner of the Jets, made it clear he wanted Revis back, a statement that led to a $100,000 fine for tampering. And Revis did return to New York, but though he signed a guaranteed $39 million 5-year contract, he lasted on 2 years, picking up yet another Pro Bowl selection. After 2 seasons with the Jets, he had a 5-game stint with the Chiefs before being released in February. Known as a cagey businessman, Revis always seems to extract maximum value for his services and earned more than $120 million in his career. God damn, that's what's up. He finished with 29 picks, including a 100-yard touchdown return in 2011 for the Jets against the Dolphins. One time for Darrell Revis. Hey, our hat goes off to one of the OGs, one of the cornerback gods. My hat goes off in the Freedom Train and the Fix Sports Podcast. Our hat goes off to you, Darrell Revis, who, in my book, is one of the best cornerbacks I've ever seen. Yeah, man, he played the game how it should be played. He played cornerback how a corner supposed to play. He wasn't afraid of competition. He had great battles with Randy Moss. Great battles with Randy Moss. Of course, you know, they both won. But he in true shutdown cornerback fashion, he followed the number one receiver around the field. If the number one receiver was at the X, he followed him. The number one receiver was at the Y, he followed him. If the number one receiver was at the Z, he followed. He was in the slot, he followed. He was in the backfield. He followed. Ravens played cornerback how it's supposed to be played. Right? So shout out to Darrell Reeves, man. Shout out to Darrell Reeves. And I wish you much success in your life after football. And I hope you are prepared for life after football. And hell, I hope you should be after earning $120 million in your career. So let's talk about Le'Veon Bell and the contract talks. You know what I'm talking about? So Le'Veon Bell, I think he's getting the franchise tag. But let me read this first before I get to that. Come on, that right. All right. So the Steelers designated Bell as an exclusive franchise player for a second straight season at $14.54 million, which is a CBA mandated 20% increase over his $12 million 2017 salary. So yeah, so with the franchise tag, 5 years. I mean, so this is what they're targeting: 5 years, $71.25 million, $19 million in overall guarantees, fully guaranteed at $19 million. First 3 years, $45 million. This is what they're targeting, right? So, February 20th was the last day teams could use a franchise or attention transition designation on players. The exclusive franchise tag prevents Bell from soliciting other offers from other teams, right? So, Bell rejected a contract offer in 2017. The NFLPA reportedly found appropriate as the mid-July deadline for franchise players to sign multi-year deals approach. Multiple reports put the offer in the $60 million neighborhood for 5 years. The report differed on other details of the offer. There was $39 million to $42 million over the first 3 years. Pittsburgh's offer was substantially more than the current $8.25 million year benchmark held by the Falcons' Devontae Freeman in what has been a declining running back market. Bell was looking to build upon the contract Adrian Peterson had been playing under since 2011, averaging approximately $14 million per year before the Vikings released him last season. Instead, Bell waited until a few days before the regular season opened to sign his franchise tender. Bell has indicated that he will do the same thing again absent a long-term deal. Bell solidifying his place as the team's best dual-threat running back in 2017 is only going to make him more resolute in his contract demands, if not increase them. And y'all should get that motherfucking man this money. He was third in the NFL in rushing with 1,291 yards despite a sluggish start to the season due to him waiting so long to get under contract and sitting out the season finale for precautionary measures with the playoffs looming. His 1,900 yards from scrimmage combined rushing and receiving was second most in the league. He also led running backs with 85 receptions. The willingness to pay Bell $26.66 million over 2 years with franchise tax suggests the Steelers would be comfortable paying him excess of $13 million per year on the long-term deal. Man, get that man his money. Stop bullshitting Pittsburgh. Get that man his money. Lele going to end up leaving, man. Lele going to end up leaving them, man. Get that man his money. This is probably his last year in Pittsburgh. Pay that man. I understand what the running back market is. Pay that man, though. Pittsburgh's vanilla contract structure may be the biggest impediment on reaching an agreement. With the exception of Roethlisberger, the only true guaranteed money in Steelers deals is a signing bonus. Roethlisberger's guarantees are for injury only. The bigger deals contain the third or fifth day of the league year roster bonus in the second and third years. The roster bonuses are supposed to be substitutes for additional contract guarantees. Wide receiver Antonio Brown only has $19 million guaranteed and the $17 million per year extension he signed last offseason. So, I mean, I feel like Le'Veon Bell has earned his money. He put time in. He produces. He's the best running back in the game. Pay that money. I understand y'all say the running back market isn't what it used to be, or the running back value isn't what it used to be as well. But Le'Veon can change the market. Pay him. Le'Veon is probably going to end up changing the market. Pay that man. Quit bullshit. Pay that man. Get off that fuck shit. Lele, I'm with you, dog. I ain't got no problem with players holding out, being mercenaries, all these things, not having love for these teams like they like people want them to. Because even when you're the best player at your position, they don't want to pay you. Running backs are looking to get guaranteed contracts too. Yeah, you might not see the value in the position the way it used to be. And, yeah, it's not as valued and as utilized as it used to be. But, damn it, that don't mean that man can't get his money because Lele, like, fuck that. I am the premier back in the league. You can say Ezekiel Elliott, you can say all they boy, but they ain't me. Do it consistently over a course of 4, 5, 6 years like I have. That's what Lele is saying. Lele is the man. I don't blame you, Lele. Get your goddamn money. Fuck that bullshit. Fuck everybody who got a problem with that. Get your money, B. Get your money and don't take nothing less than what you are worth. Don't take nothing less than what you are truly worth, Lele. My hat go off to you, Lele. One time for Lele. Get your money. And, of course, we will keep you updated on the latest movements if he signs, if he doesn't sign, all those different things. Whoop. There it is. Upside down and inside out. I want to show you folks what it's all about. Now it's time for Joe to get on the mic. Why I keep this fixed hype. I freestyle it on the mic. Everybody want to come get right. Put the order on in the morning. Once you come get down by the bone and yawning. All the left, that. Yeah, so whatever. That's my transition music. Before I talk about the Pussy Riders, I said the Pussy Riot protesters. While I talk about the Pussy Riot protests. While I talk about the Pussy Riot protesters. The Pussy Riot protesters. So, the Pussy Riot protesters jailed over pitch demonstration at the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Four members of the Russian punk activist group Pussy Riot have been jailed for 15 days for disrupting the World Cup final by running onto the pitch. Basically, they ran in the game. They was running around doing the game, basically. That's what they say, running into the pitch. They was running their ass around on the field doing the game. Get your pussy asses off the field. Get it? Get it? Hey, you pussies, get off the field. They were accused of violating the rules for spectators at sporting events and wearing police uniforms illegally. They were also banned from attending sports events for 3 years. Pussy Riot said it was a protest against human rights abuses in Russia. Stewards hauled the four off the pitch. Basically, the security took their ass off the field. Basically, that's what they're saying. So the Pussy Riders ran on the field, said they're protesting human rights abuses in Russia, and security took their ass off the field. The incident interrupted the second half of the Croatia versus France match for about 25 seconds. France went on to win 4-2. You know about that. That's kind of funny. They got pictures of these motherfuckers running through the field. Pussy Riot has staged high-profile protests against President Vladimir Putin before. Three members were jailed in 2012 for an anti-Putin punk song performing in a Moscow cathedral. Shit, they need to do that here because goddamn Putin and Trump. You know about that shit, right? You know what I'm talking about? The group has tweeted that the four arrested on Sunday spent the whole night at a police station in great discomfort. They probably got their ass whooped, probably what they're saying. Allegedly. I don't know. I'm not saying that they got their ass. I'm just saying they probably did. Just speculating. I'm not saying they did because I don't have no evidence to prove that somebody got their ass whooped, but they said uncomfortably. They probably did. So three women and the man ran on the field. Though one was tackled on the sidelines, they wore police-style uniforms, white shirts, black trousers, and hats and ties and shit. One woman managed to do a high-five salute to Mbappe before being led off the field. They call it the pitch. I'm calling it the field. But the male intruder was grabbed in anger by Croatian defender Dejan Lovren. After the incident, Lovren told reporters, "I just lost my head and grabbed the guy. And I wish I could throw him away from the stadium." Hey, you can get your dumb ass sued for doing that, too. The man was identified as Petrov Verslov, husband of, I ain't even going to try to say her goddamn name. She was among the three Pussy Riot members. So, all right, man, husband and wife down with the Pussy Riot. That's what's up. So, hey, man, you know, the Pussy Riot said they demonstrating against Vladimir. Y'all smell that Putin? Get it? Vladimir all the way Putin, man. Well, every time we come around here, man, Vladimir always poop, man. Vladimir and his bitch, Trump. Trump let Vladimir put the tip in. So that's what happened with the Pussy Riders. Hey, man, I ain't mad at the Pussy Riders, man. Riot. Riot, Pussy Riders. Keep riding, man. keep riding. Fuck the dumb shit. Fuck the government. Fuck governments about the bullshit and about the abuse of humans and the maltreatment of humans. So one time for the pussy riots. Y'all Google it. You got to Google it. Google pussy riot. Google it. That's funny. I had to talk about that. How can I not talk about this story? Think about the elements. Sports, aggressiveness, disruption, civil disobedience, all layered with the word pussy. And it's not me being nasty. They called themselves the Pussy Riot. I had to talk about this story. It's one of the coolest things I've heard all week. The Pussy Riots. Pussy. Right. Pussy. Right. Put it together now. Pussy Riot, Pussy Riot. Pussy Riot, Pussy Riot. Pussy Riot, Pussy Riot. R-I-O-T, right, R-I-O-T, right, P-U-S-S-I-R-I-O-T, right, P-U-S-S-Y, I know I said I, I'm just, you know, caught up in, so pussy riot. That's what that is, No, 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 you see, no, Pussy Riot. France, football, World Cup championships, Africa, Trevor Noah, French ambassador, my ass. Not my actual ass, but me, like me as Joseph. Why can they not be African? Trevor Noah claps back at French ambassador, mad he said Africa won the World Cup. I heard your words about an African victory. Nothing could be less true, the ambassador wrote in letter to Noah. So, let me read this and I'll give you my thoughts on this. All right. Trevor Noah's celebration of the French soccer team's African origins has drawn an ire of the French ambassador. On Monday, the Daily Show host joked that the motherland was responsible for a France World Cup victory. Yes and no. The motherland produced players who were responsible for France's World Cup victory. Africa won the World Cup, Noah said, and a lot of people said, and to be fair, a lot of people said that. But a lot of people wasn't saying that in a joking way. So I'm going to get on you motherfuckers who wasn't saying that in a joke. For you people who were serious, come on. Fuck out of here. Come on. But if you were saying that as a joke, or you saying it to piss white people off, high five, right? You don't get that tan by hanging out in the south of France, my friends. Basically, if you don't understand, France is Africa's backup team. Once Senegal and Nigeria got knocked out, that's who we root for. Actually, Brazil was the backup team. But you know me, y'all heard me. I've been telling y'all that I'm rooting for the team with the most black people who's still remaining. So I've been saying that for a long time. But I also said that Brazil was the backup team from the African teams, too. The joke drew sharp criticism from Gerard Arad, the French ambassador to the United States, who sent a stern letter to the show. Hey, what's with grit and I can't do a good French accent, so. I watched with great attention to your show where you spoke about France's World Cup final victory in Russia. I heard your words about an African victory. Nothing could be less true, Arad wrote. As many players already stated, their parents may have come from another country, but only two were born outside of France. The rich and various backgrounds of these players are a reflection of French diversity. Actually, like Trevor Noah said, it's a reflection of French colonialism. Because if everything was going good in Africa, and white people went and went fucking with Africa, all those players would still be in Africa. I'm just saying. In a segment posted on the Daily Show's Twitter page, Noah read the letter aloud with a French accent and offered his own critiques. Noah, who is from South Africa, claimed Arad tries to erase the player's African identity. Black people all over the world were celebrating the Africanness of the French players, not in a negative way, but rather in a positive way, going, look at these Africans who can become French. You know what I mean. It's a celebration of that achievement, Noah said. So this is what I find weird in these arguments is that people go, they were not African, they're French. Then I'm like, why can't they be both? Why is that duality only afforded to a select group of people? Why can they not be African? So that So what they're arguing here is, in order to be French, you have to erase everything that is African. Right. Fuck y'all, French. Right. He later complimented the United States, saying that while the country has its flaws, people can still celebrate their identity and their Americans. So that's the feud between Noah and the French Aurora. You try to take the African people, I don't need, from Africa. I mean, from the French, parlez-vous, hello, no, no, le six cent, croissants and French toast and French fries and wine and other French shit. If you like French shit and all that pink shit, parlez-vous, hello. So, first of all, we can celebrate the African players that play for France. Like I said, I'm riding with the team with the most black people. If it's not an all-black African team, I'm riding with the team with the most black people. Of course, you know, I was riding with Senegal and Nigeria, but mostly Nigeria because then I learned Senegal. I was like, oh, yeah. So I'm riding with Nigeria and Senegal, but when they got put out, I was like, Brazil. Then I went with the other teams with the most black people. But then France ended up in the team that I rooted for because they had the most black people, right? So celebrate the Africanness, like I said at the top of it, though. If you were saying that, if you were saying that Africa won the World Cup in a joke or to fuck with white people, I'm with you. But if you were one of the people who were dead serious about Africa won the World Cup, France is the African team, you crazy. Especially when they were actual African teams. Now, if you're saying that to mess with people, I'm with you. But if you serious, I'm looking at you sideways. Not in the same way that the French ambassador was, because you can be, in a nutshell, French don't like black people. French don't like, let's be real, French don't like black people like that. And the only reason these people are being celebrated because they won the World Cup. If they didn't win the World Cup, nobody would be celebrating these brothers. Just like the brother who climbed the building, and like Trevor Noah pointed this out, the brother who climbed the building and rescued the baby, he was then given French citizenship. Right? So France claim black people when they do outstanding things. But when black people just regular black people, France don't claim them. Right? So with that being said, France can kiss my whole butt. My whole ass, France can kiss with that. Mix me with that, France. Y'all think us people in America don't pay attention, right? We pay attention. We straight players. We pay attention. We know what's going on. And we know France don't like black people. So don't try to claim us now, France, now that black folk the one helped y'all win this World Cup. Now, I'm not going to be one of the people. Of course, you know, I'm the sports person, so I pay attention. So I know half the team was black. You know, half the starters were black. So, you know, I gave my shout-out to the French team as a whole, but also celebrating the black people. Mbappe, Kanté, Pogba, all them other boys, man, and the other boys, all them boys. But we don't need to claim France as the black team. But I do like white people being fucked with. Bro. But, you know, one time for the black players, fuck France. One time for the black players on the French soccer team who helped bring home the gold. But fuck France as the country. But one time for the black players. And we're celebrating the African in those black players, the blackness and the Africanness in those players. That's what's being celebrated, not France. Parlez-vous, hell on. But one time for the black players who helped France bring home that World Cup. So that's what's going on. I find that funny. I find that funny. I find that real funny. All right. Time for my weekly rant. This is one of the craziest, wildest, and softest weekly rants. This is the softest weekly rant I've ever done. It's one of the wildest. Fuckboy Flagrant 5 Frank called the police on this black dude. Frank looked white, but he could be Hispanic or Middle Eastern. He looked like he could be either of the three. But flagrant fuckboy, flagrant foul Frank called the police on this black dude because the black dude set a screen that was too hard on him. The black dude, his IG handle is TrapMoneyBenny @_TOGS. Togs. Today, for the first time in my life, this is his tweet. Today, for the first time in my life, I experienced someone call the police because they got fouled hard in basketball. Why? So maybe he thought the score was 5-0. Cops in Virginia responded to a pickup game late Monday at an L.A. fitness gym in Sterling after a player fell to the floor from an aggressive screen and called police, according to a witness who posted a photo of the unconventional law enforcement response. Today, for the first time in my life, I experienced someone call the police because they got fouled hard in the basketball. And basketball, the witness tweeted, everyone in the gym and the dude in the black with the hands folded falls from a hard pick. He gets up, tells everyone he's going to call the police, and walks out, leaving everyone in the gym confused. The witness, who identified himself as Aaron, told local station WTTG he initially thought the unidentified man was joking. I thought he was being extra bitchy. I added the bitchy part, Aaron told the station. Man, that man a straight bitch. But the way the story ended is crazy as hell, too. But the man was dead serious and marched his way to the front desk where police were called and later responded to his bitch ass. If this ain't no fuckboy shit, I don't know what is, right? When the cops came, he was like, why are you wasting my time? Aaron told WTTG. Managers at the gym confirmed the incident and response by police. Video footage of the incident is not available since the gym's basketball courts do not have video surveillance, according to the station. The other pickup players simply returned to the game after the incident, Aaron said. One user on Twitter, meanwhile, said the unidentified man who called the police looked like the little brother of New York owners Jim Dolan. Another joked that a responding officer took matters into his own hands by calling a flagrant one foul at the gym. And that's funny. Some users also came up with a new nickname for the man who called the police, including Flagrant Foul Freddy and Check Charlie. Check Charlie ain't funny. One woman noted that the man had the exact same expression on his face as Barbecue Becky. That he had that white, got you, buddy. He had that, buddy. Hey, buddy. He had that look on his face. So let's break this down. And it was said, basically, they didn't have this part, but it was said that everybody went back to playing basketball. So even the black dude who he called basketball on, they went back to playing basketball with Flagrant Foul Freddy. So first of all, fuck you, Flagrant Foul Freddy, right? That's some whole-ass shit. But let's just be real. You white people who call the police on black people, you do know that when you do that, we understand that you're trying to get us killed. And for you black people who didn't know that, when white people call the police on you, they're trying to get you killed. They want you to be shot dead, arrested. They want your life to be compromised and fucked up. So let's just put that out right there. They want you to be fucked up. But Flagrant Foul Freddy called the police on Buddy because of a hard scream. That ain't some of the most homemade shit I've ever heard in my life. And the black dude crazy as fuck for going back and still playing in the same gym with this bitch-ass dude. It should be a rule, a bro code out that Freddy don't get to play motherfucking basketball with no dudes no more. Whenever he show up to the court, everybody should leave. Or if you don't leave, tell him, bitch, we ain't playing with your bitch ass. Call the cops on this because we ain't playing with you. You do not get the privilege of playing basketball with men anymore. Go play with children. You're not qualified to play with men or women. Go play with children, you bitch made sack of shit. Flagrant, foul, Freddy, fuck boy. Fuck you. You felonious, fouling, fanatical fuckboy. Fuck your follicles, too. Anything with the F. Fucking freeloading. I don't know. Fuck you, Freddy. That's some hoe-ass shit, man. But the crazy part is Black Buddy went back and played ball with him. Still played and continued playing ball with the coochie-ass white dude. He went back and played ball with the coochie-ass white dude again. If that ain't no whole shit, I don't know what is. If that ain't no dumb shit, I don't know what is. Why would you go back and play basketball with flagrant foul Freddie after he pulled a bitch move? That's bro code. You just broke. We don't play with you no more, bro. We don't play basketball with you no more. You lucky you don't get your ass whooped and get a real reason to call the police. I told y'all, these dudes ain't made the same no more. These dudes are straight hoes these days. Flagrant foul Freddy, you was a hoe, man. I'm calling the police. Freddy tried to get Buddy killed, though. Let's just be real. At the end of the day, all jokes aside, Freddy tried to get Buddy killed. Freddie wanted dude killed. Nobody should be messing with Freddie no more because Freddie is along the same line as all the other white folk who called the police on black folk for no reason because they want you to be killed. Freddie didn't get his way. White people call the police on black people when they don't get their way. Freddie didn't get his way, literally, didn't get a chance to go his way. Freddie got mad, called the police on black dude, wanted police to arrest black dude and or kill him. Kill him now or kill him later. That's what Freddie on. Kill him now or kill him later. This is some of the weakest, dumbest, bitch-made, homemade shit I've ever seen in my life. I've never heard of nobody getting the police called on them because of a foul. So this shows you that this goes beyond. That's why supremacy at its finest. And if nobody's picking that up, I'm pointing it out for you. This is white supremacy at its finest. Freddie wanted Buddy fucked up. He wanted that black man's life to be messed up. That's why he called the police on him. He wanted that black man's life to not be the same. He didn't want that man to go home to his children. He wanted to take money out of this man's pocket. He wanted to mess this man's life up. He wanted to mess this man's family life up. He wanted to mess up the well-being of this man and his life and everything that this man got going on, all because of a screen that was set. It probably was, the black dude probably was giving Freddie ass the business. And Freddie finally found that opening. But I'm going to get him. He's not getting away with this, buddy. You're not getting away with this, buddy. I got you now, buddy. I got you. White power. Us white guys got to, we got to continue calling the police on you black people because you're too aggressive. You know how us white people are. And how we support white supremacy, and how we don't like not getting our way from you Negroes, from you niggers. You nigger, 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 and we have to get our way. So that's why we call the police on you, because we want our way, and we want you dead. Fuckyouffreddy. Fuck you. Fuck your kids, Freddie. Fuck that. I ain't said that in a long time. Fuck your kids, Freddie. Nothing that you produce could be of quality. Nothing that you produce. So if you got kids, fuck your kids, man. Fuck the future of you, Freddie. Fuck that. And you. Because you's a bitch, and I wish you... Okay, I almost said that. I ain't going to do that because my mama always getting on me about wishing people bad luck because, you know, once I get on my road, I ain't going to wish you bad luck. All I'm going to say is, hey, man, don't be mad the universe fuck you up. Don't be mad the universe send something your way that fuck you up or throw your shit off, Freddie, because that's what you try to do to Buddy. That's what you try to do to Buddy. So don't get mad when it happened to your bitch ass, Freddie. You's a man. That's one of the garbages, wackiest, softest stories I've ever heard in my life. Man, I've been playing. I'm 34 years old. I've been playing basketball in the streets for a long time. I'd have played with all types of thugs. I'd have been fouled all types of ways and shit. I'd have been left bleeding, all these shit. I ain't never heard of a scene. I'd have seen motherfuckers fight on the court. Did dap it up and continue to play. But I ain't never seen nobody call no police on somebody. I'd have seen a bitch fall on their head after a hard foul. I ain't never seen nobody call the police. So that's how you know it was more than about basketball. Put your mind around it. Wrap your mind around it. It was more than about basketball. It was more than about a hard foul. Because this is not Freddie's first time being fouled hard in his life. But all of a sudden now you want to call the police on somebody, particularly a black person who fouls you, because you see what's going on around this country. You understand what's going on. You understand your position as a white man. And you try to use your privilege. Thankfully, it didn't work. Thankfully, the officers didn't go with that fuck shit with you. Thankfully, the black man is still alive. Thankfully, the black man didn't get arrested. Thankfully, the man's life is not compromised. Thankfully, the officers were cool. They were different type of officers. They weren't fuckboy police officers. I'm smart enough to understand that all police officers are not fuckboys, but all police officers do operate within a fuckboy system. But shout out to those cops for not being fuckboys in that scenario. But fuckboy, flagrant, foul, Freddy. Fuck you, fuck your kids, fuck your future, fuck your past, fuck your present, fuck everything about you, fuck your hair, fuck your basketball skills, fuck your shoes, fuck any basketball. I hope your sweat glands lock up your ass, don't get the sweat no more, so now your body can't release toxins. I hope your bowels, you have uncontrollable bowels. I hope you have erectile dysfunction for the rest of your life and be a premature ejaculator. I hope your wife leave you if you have a wife. If you have a man, I hope your man leave you. If you have a dog, I hope your dog leave you. I hope you get an STD that's uncurable and your penis fall off because you was a bitch and you deserve some bitch-made shit in your life. Fuck you, Freddie. You's a hoe. That's the craziest. That's one of the craziest shits I've ever heard in my life. A motherfucker calling the cops on the bitch because he got... Not like dude tried to kill him, but it was just a hard scream. Wow. When they say they don't make real men no more like they used to, a lot of these dudes cut from a different cloth. I'm glad I'm cut from an OG old school cloth. I made the cut. But god damn, that's some hoe ass shit, man. Hey man, this is the Fix Sports Podcast. I'm Joseph Ward, your host right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Just know, man, we keep it gully. To give you all the information like you need it. I like sports. I like talking about sports. And I like talking about sports in the manner that I talk about sports. Audio shop talk right in your ear hole. Remember, man, visit us. Visit our website once again, www.freedomtrainradio.com. And check us out. How we get down, man. Stay tuned for all the new shows. Well, we got a new show coming, some hip-hop coming. So stay tuned for that. And it's going down how I go down and be down how I be down and we down and we down and we stay down and I don't know what I'm saying. So I'm going to hit this button. So out of here.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Hold on, ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from the Air Force.